Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 21. Psalm 21. Today has been an interesting day, has it not? Praise the Lord that Jesus is still good. He's still on his throne. And we get the privilege today of hearing from his word in Psalm 21. So this is the word of the Lord, Psalm 21. It's to the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exults. You have given him his heart's desire and not withheld the requests of his lips, for you meet him with rich blessings. You set a crown of fine gold upon his head. He asked life of you, and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you bestow on him. For you make him most blessed forever, and you make him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High he shall not be moved. Your hand will find out all of your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. You will make them as a blazing oven when you appear. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will consume them. You will destroy the descendants from the earth and their offspring from among the children of man. Though they plan evil against you, though they devise mischief, they will not succeed. For you will put them to flight. You will aim at their faces with your bows. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have today to pause from a crazy morning and to open your word and to hear what you have to tell us about your strength, your power, your salvation, your king. So God, I pray that you would help us to see how amazingly blessed we are in King Jesus. And Lord, that we might be a people who sing and praise your power. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. So it's been a crazy morning, right? This has been an interesting church service to have an hour delay and people wondering if they're even going to have church today. But this was not the craziest church service I've ever been to, by far. I was at a church service with the Power Team one time. I don't know if you know who the Power Team is. They're a group of athletes that use their amazing strength to preach the good news of Jesus. They started in the mid-90s, and they have hosted church services all around the world. And my friend was going to be preaching after they did their little show, and he wanted me to come with them. So I said, yes, I would go. So this is not a normal church service. I mean, these guys are doing all kinds of stunts to just show how strong they are. I mean, they're like literally breaking baseball bats over their knees. They're smashing through concrete blocks. They're like got these metal bars that they're bending and ripping books in half. I mean, they're just doing all of this stuff right there in the church service. Now, of course, when they're done, they share the story of Jesus. These men certainly love the Lord and you got to love their heart to reach people. But the whole time I'm just sitting there thinking, what is going on? This has got to be the craziest church service I've ever been a part of. You know, it's easy to look at something like that and to laugh. But don't we put on a show just like that? In one way or another, don't we all try to put on a show like we're strong? Like we have the power and the strength to do what this life is calling us to do. We want to trust in our own power. We want people to see us and think that we're strong. We want to be independent. We don't want to be needy. We want to be successful. We don't want to struggle. We want to be strong. We don't want to be weak. Listen, the truth is, on our own, we are all weak. We're weak. We do struggle. We are needy. And we've come to Psalm 21 today, and God is calling us to see and to celebrate His strength. Not our strength, His strength. This psalm is a celebration of God's strength that He has blessed the king of Israel with. It's a declaration of His strength to bring judgment on His enemies. And it's a call for us, as the last line says, to sing and to praise the power of our God. So that's my goal for us today, that we would see and celebrate the strength of the Lord, that we would be a people who trust in His strength alone. So really, our psalm has two parts, so I'm going to have 2 points today. I'll probably spend more time in the first one, but let's look to see what God's word says today. First, the Lord is strong to bless His people. The Lord is strong to bless His people. So Psalm 21 is a follow-up to Psalm 20. The two go together. If you remember, Pastor Lance preached that last week. Psalm 20 is a prayer for the king of Israel. And Psalm 21, then, is a follow-up. It's a celebration that God answered those prayers. You'll see a lot of the same language in both Psalms. See, David was the king of ancient Israel, and he's writing both of these to celebrate the strength of Yahweh, that's the God of Israel. Look at verse 1. It says, O Lord, that's the first two words. That word Lord in all capital letters in the English Bible is the name of God, Yahweh in Hebrew. He says, O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exults. That's the main idea of this psalm. He's celebrating the strength of God who has delivered him from his enemies. And look, this is actually the answer to the prayer back at verse 9 of Psalm 20. If you have your Bible open, look back at Psalm 20, verse 9. It says, O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. So it's a prayer that God would save the king of Israel. And then in verse 1, David is celebrating that God has done that. He's saved the king of Israel. Now look at verse 2. He says, you have given him his heart's desire, and you have not withheld the request of his lips. Again, this was the exact prayer from Psalm 20. You can go back and read it. God has given this king his desire, and he has granted his requests. But what exactly are these desires and these requests? Well, David was, as I said, the ancient king of Israel. And because of that, he was a warrior king. He was the one that led Israel in battle. If you remember, a few weeks ago in Psalm 18, it was a psalm celebrating that God had delivered David from his many battles in his life. Many of the psalms are about this idea, that God has delivered David on the battlefield. Look down at verse 3. It says, for you meet him with rich blessings. You set a crown of fine gold upon his head. David's talking about a military victory here. This was a crown of victory made of gold that they would put on the king as a symbol of honor for his victory. And then as we looked at verses 4, 5, and 6, we see three blessings that God has given to David. Look at them. The first is life. Look at verse 4. He asked of life of you, and you gave it to him, length of days, forever and ever. Think about it. David's on the battlefield. They're trying to kill him. He's literally praying, God, keep me alive. And verse 4 is saying, and God answered that prayer. The second blessing is the blessing of glory. Look at verse 5. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you bestow on him. God gave David this victory as the king, and he gives him glory and splendor and majesty. That's the second blessing. The third blessing there is joy. Look at verse 6. For you made him most blessed forever. You made him glad with the joy of your presence. God has blessed David, and God has made him glad in his presence forever. Life, glory, joy. These are the rich blessings that God has given to David. And we have to ask, well, why? Why would God be willing to bless David with life and with glory and with joy? Well, look at verse 7. Verse 7 tells us, "For the king," that's David, "trusts in the Lord. And through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved." David was not blessed by his own strength. Do you see that? He was blessed because he did what? He trusted in the Lord and his strength. David's faith was in the Lord alone and that steadfast love that God had promised to be with him. And that's what made David secure. You see, Psalm 21 is teaching us that the Lord does not bless those who are strong. The Lord blesses those who trust his strength. All the blessings in life that we're working so hard to get, they come not by our own strength, but by faith in the Lord. They come when we trust the Lord. Do you see that? David is not celebrating how great and strong he is. He's celebrating the strength of the Lord his God. And David's calling us to do the same, to put all of our trust in the Lord so that we might rest not on our strength, but on his strength. You see, Psalm 21 is a celebration of God's salvation for King David. But really, it points us to a greater king, a king who would entrust himself completely to the Father, a king whom God would pour out all of heaven's blessings upon. But we know that these blessings first came through suffering. Like David, he was a man of suffering. You see, before this king would receive a crown of gold, he would receive a crown of thorns. And before he would know life everlasting, he would know death and the grave. Before he would receive glory and splendor and majesty, he received shame and humiliation and condemnation. And before he would know that everlasting joy of the Father's presence, he had to be forsaken. He had to be crushed. Have you ever wondered how Jesus did all of that? How could he suffer so much pain? So much humiliation. Why was he willing to die for people who hated him? Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 2:23. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he did what? He continued to entrust himself to God who judges justly. He trusted in the Lord. He was faithful to the end. That's how he did it. Not by trusting even in himself, but trusting in the Father. His faith in the Father and the Father's love for him kept him going. And it was because of his faithfulness that God has then rewarded him. God has crowned Jesus king over heaven and earth. God did raise him from the dead and given him length of days forever and ever. God has bestowed upon Jesus glory and splendor and majesty. And one day every tongue will confess and every knee will bow before the glory of Jesus. You see, God has blessed Jesus forever with everlasting gladness. Psalm 21 is a celebration of what God did for David, but it's so much more than that. It's a celebration for all that the Father has done for Jesus. And here's the most amazing part of that. In Christ, all of these blessings are ours. By faith, we get to share in the blessings of Christ. You know, we're like Jesus's entourage. You know what an entourage is? It's like when a successful movie star has like all of these guys that just hang out with him, right? He takes them to all of the fancy restaurants, gets some courtside tickets to NBA games, buys them expensive clothes, expensive cars, expensive houses. But these guys are nobodies. They're like the guy's friend from third grade, you know what I mean? They're nobodies. all they do is benefit from the riches of their movie star friend. That's us. That's what we do. We're nobodies benefiting from the riches of Jesus. Every blessing that God has given to us is ours because of Jesus. I mean, just think back to those three versings, those three blessings again in verses 4, 5, and 6, right? In Jesus, we have the blessing of life, right? You know, we all want to live the good life. We work so hard to have the life that we want, but we think if we can work hard enough or be good enough or obey enough, we can have that good life. Brothers and sisters, the good life is in Jesus. It's a gift. It's a blessing that God has given to us in Christ. Jesus is the author of life. He is the light of life and the bread of life. He is the resurrection and the life. He came to give us abundant life. He has written our names in the book of life, and he gives everlasting life to all who will believe in him. Jesus is the reason we have the blessings of eternal life. In Jesus, we have the blessing of glory too. You know, we're all hardwired to seek some glory, aren't we? We're created to see and to celebrate glory. But in our own sin, we just want to glorify anything and everything but God. We don't want to give thanks to our Creator. We exchange the glory of God for created things. But in Christ, we have seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus. God has blessed us with that glory. Jesus is the Lord of glory. He is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the glory of the only Son of the Father. The angels sang glory at his birth. The disciples on that mountain saw him in all of his glory. The crowds in Jerusalem shouted glory in the highest as he rode into Jerusalem. His death on the cross was a display of his glory. His resurrection from the dead was a declaration of his glory. Jesus is and forever will be the most glorious person ever. And in him we get to see and celebrate the glory of God forever. In Jesus we have the blessing of glory. But in Jesus, we also have the blessing of joy. Don't we all want to experience joy? Don't we want some real, true, lasting joy in life? But it's so easy for us to look for joy in anything but the Lord. But notice what David says in verse 6 again. You make him most blessed forever. Well, how is David blessed? You make him glad with the joy of your presence. God has blessed David with joy in his presence. This is Psalm 16:11 again. Remember that from a few weeks ago? You make known to me the path of life. Here's how we have life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. And that's ours in Christ. If you belong to Jesus, you have access to everlasting joy in the presence of God. Jesus has brought us into the presence of God, and in the presence is fullness of joy. So we don't have to spend our days searching for something that will bring us joy. The blessings of joy, everlasting joy, the blessing is ours in Jesus. All we have to do is believe it. It's really what this is all about, right? Remember verse 7? God blesses those who trust him. Listen, we're not strong enough to give ourselves life. We're not strong enough to give ourselves the glory that we seek. I mean, we can't even do enough to give ourselves joy forever. But Jesus can. It's the strength of Jesus that's on display in our lives when we come to him helpless and needy, when we come to him trusting that he is strong and he can give us the blessings that we so seek after. When we come to him trusting that he's strong when we're weak, trusting that the Lord is strong to bless his people. So brothers and sisters, let's see and celebrate the strength of God, and let's trust him to bless us. The Lord is strong to bless his people. Number two, the Lord is strong to judge his enemies. So our psalm takes a bit of a turn here in verse 8, and now it just talks all about God and his strength to bring judgment on his enemies. Verses 8 through 12 are all about that. Notice how the Lord will find his enemies. Look at verse 8. Your hand will find out all of your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. There is no hiding from the judgment of God. He will find all who oppose him. And notice how the Lord will bring judgment on his enemies. Verse 9. You will make them as a blazing oven when you appear. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will consume them. The image of fire is a common image of judgment in the Bible. God's holy wrath and anger towards those who oppose him will bring judgment upon them. He will swallow them. He will consume them as a fire. God will not shy away from judging his enemies. And notice how he will destroy them. Look at verse 10. You will destroy their descendants from the earth and their offspring from among the children of man. Now, when we come to a verse like that, it seems really harsh. Man, isn't God a God of love and mercy? God of justice and righteousness? Does it seem like he's like so opposed to these enemies that he's even willing to kill all of their children too? That doesn't really seem very fair. It doesn't seem loving. Well, look at verse 11. Though they plan evil against you, though they devise mischief, they will not succeed. You see, God is not punishing innocent people here. David's point is that God will punish every generation of people who oppose him. Look at verse 12. For you will put them to flight, and you will aim at their faces with your bows. God is ready and willing and able to punish his enemies. And that's what David is celebrating, the strength of God to bring judgment upon his enemies. You know, it's verses like these that make a lot of people not believe the Bible. They read stuff like this, and it just seems so wrong that God would have this kind of a response to human evil. Sometimes people read these verses and they think, man, the God of the Bible is just a moral monster. He just is sitting up in heaven waiting around for people to kill and just finds so much joy in sending these people to the fires of hell. But listen, the wrath of God will never make sense until we see the depths of our own sin and our rebellion. I mean, if we're all pretty good people who just make mistakes from time to time, then yeah, that would seem wrong for God to treat us like that. But we're not all pretty good people. We are sinners, enslaved to our sin. And we don't just make mistakes. We commit cosmic treason against a holy God, and we refuse to love him as he deserves. I remember as a young Christian reading through R.C. Sproul's book called The Holiness of God. And there's a section talking about how holy God is and how unholy we are, how sinful and rebellious we are as humans. And he was talking about how we hate God. Yes, hate God. And I remember reading that and thinking, what is he talking about? And he argues in the book that humans hate God so much that if God were to show up, we would find a way to kill him. He says if God were to expose his life to our hands, he would not be safe for a second. We would not ignore him. We would destroy him. I remember reading that and thinking, what is this guy talking about? It just doesn't seem right. And then he goes on to say this. This may seem extravagant and irresponsible until we remember the record of what happened when God did appear in Christ. Christ was not simply killed, he was murdered by malicious people. You see, the cross shows us the depths of human sin and rebellion. And we'll never understand the wrath of God until we understand just how far we have fallen from the glory of God. But listen, we will never understand the wrath of God until we see also that Jesus was willing to bear it for us. The God of the Bible is not an angry God just waiting around in heaven looking for people to destroy. His wrath towards sin is good and right, but the beauty of the story of Jesus is that God himself came down to earth to bear his own wrath for those who would turn to him. The beauty of the gospel is that on the cross, Jesus bears the full wrath of God so that sinners like us can be saved, so that God's enemies can be made his friends. God will not turn his judgment away from his enemies. But God also will not turn away any enemy that comes to him in faith, looking for salvation. That's the beauty of the God that we worship. That's the beauty of the cross of Christ. Justice and mercy kiss there on the cross of Calvary. So it's good for us to read Psalm 21 and to think about the blessings we have in Jesus, but it's also good to think about the wrath of God towards our sin. And it's good for us to think of that because some of us today need to be rescued from it. If you're not a believer in Christ, you are an enemy of God. And if you're just hoping that God will have second chances and not punish you, your hope is in vain. Psalm 21 is clear. God will not shy away from punishing those who oppose him. But even as this psalm shows us, God will also not withhold blessings of salvation for those who trust him. So come to Jesus today. Confess your sin and trust in his life and death and resurrection. Believe in the Lord Jesus today for the first time, and you will be saved. You'll be saved from the wrath of God. You'll be an enemy that's now a friend, a son and daughter of the King. You'll no longer be under the wrath, but under the full grace of Jesus. So if you've never repented of your sin and never believed in Christ, today, right now, would be a wonderful time to do that. So come to Jesus and be made a friend. Come and know the power of his salvation. You know, it's also good for those of us who are Christians to think about God's wrath because it gives us a song to sing. Listen to the final verse of Psalm 21. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. David finishes the song where he began, celebrating the strength of God. He looks at all of those blessings that God has given to him. He looks at the strength that God has to punish his enemies. And David thinks about those things and he says, what do we need to do? We need to sing. Brothers and sisters, we have even better reasons to sing than King David. David saw in part, but we see clearly. In the face of Jesus, we see the blessings of God. Because of Jesus, every blessing, even more than what we've seen today, has been poured out upon us. And because of Jesus, the wrath of God was poured out not on us, but on Jesus, on the cross. And those blessings and that deliverance gives us a song to sing. So let's sing and let's praise the Lord for his power. Let's sing his power to save. Let's sing of his power to give us life. Let's sing of his power to show us glory. Let's sing of his power to give us everlasting joy in his presence. Let's sing of his power to forgive our sins. Let's sing of his power to drink the cup of wrath dry. Let's sing of his power to bring judgment on his enemies and ours. Let's sing for the grace and the love that God has showered upon us in Jesus Christ. So the choice before us today is, will we continue to put on a show and act like we're strong? Or will we believe that God is strong? And will we sing and praise his power? Brothers and sisters, we are weak, but Jesus is strong. So let's trust him. Let's celebrate him. And let's sing his praises all our days. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. God, you have spoken to us from Psalm 21. You've shown us the rich blessings we have in Christ. You've shown us just how amazing it is that you came to bear your own wrath in your Son, Jesus. I pray for anyone here today who doesn't know you, God, would they come to faith in Jesus today? And for those of us who do, God, may we sing. And may we praise your power. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.